I'm Jacob Wirth, the CEO of Catalytic, and this is Unbundled. In this series, I help to demystify technology in the world of business. Join me as we explore how technology can make your business better. In this episode, we're chatting about UC Evolved. We're chatting about what UC is, UC Evolved components, app integration, and security issues. By the end of this episode, you'll have a clearer idea of how UC can help you communicate better in your business. I'm joined by AJ de Kock from Continuo Virtual Communications.
Hi, AJ, welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
So we always start the show, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Like Jacu mentioned, my name is AJ. I've been involved in the telephone industry for about 3 years now. I've worked with multiple ISPs now, with hosted extensions. We've recently deployed a UC platform into our own network. So yeah, I've been pretty much IT driven since the day I've left school.
So you're basically like a propeller nerd.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's jump into it. So let's talk about UC or Unified Communications. What is it?
So if we think about it, when UC started before this whole pandemic with COVID and all that, is people used to, or companies or businesses used to use UC for video collaboration, where they had VC rooms, and that was pretty much what it was all about. And then lockdown happened, and a lot of the digital transformation phase started, where companies needed to try and move out of the office into a hybrid working space, work from home, and a lot of the key vendors started bringing out platforms that enabled users to be able to work from anywhere, be able to have meetings, working from home, be able to message, share content, and all those type of things. So it's basically come down to being able to work in a hybrid workspace, and you have your full work experience from anywhere in the world.
So I read some interesting stats. And these are US-based stats, but I think the world will track, where they say that about 74% of US companies are using a hybrid work model. So, and I think the reality, and we have these conversations often, I think the reality is that you will not have a meeting where somebody is not online. There's always somebody that's going to be online, and I think that's correct. That is a reality as you go. I also read that about 63% of high growth companies use productivity anywhere as a hybrid working model. So the world is sped up. We want to be able to move faster, et cetera, et cetera. And then the last one is that they said that 72% of companies marked employee productivity as a very important component in their sort of hybrid working model. Mm-hmm. So when you started now, you mentioned the pre-pandemic flavor of, let's call it, unified communications, which roughly translate into basically everybody jumped onto a video call and it was very exciting because we could see each other, etc., etc. But what are the traditional shortcomings of UC deployed in a business?
For me, it goes well. The most important thing is the shortcomings are people aren't used to change, right? People are used to sitting in the office. They've got their desk phone, they've got their laptop, and you know, we've got all these components that we deal with on a daily basis. And now, if you have to bring something new into your company and you have to train your users, you know, people aren't used to change. They're not used to new things. So one of the challenges that I would say is just getting your users used to something new, getting them to learn what the capabilities are of UC products and those type of things. Another thing I think is, which is also a hard thing, is UC and all your collaboration products can become quite expensive. Traditionally, your companies would have an on-site PBX where you had to pay the equipment off, you had to pay the equipment up front, where UC has introduced a model where you can subscribe on a monthly basis. So there are ups and downs to the unified communications world that's competing directly with your traditional communication strategy.
So you mentioned something there. Sorry, I want to jump in here now. You mentioned something there now that's very pertinent for me, because we see it today, 2 years into, I almost want to say post-pandemic, but you still have people where they have some form of unified communication service, let's call it Zoom or Microsoft Teams or whatever, and they still run the company PBX or Switchboard as a separate system. So it's these two disparate systems.
Yeah, so the challenge with that is, and if we speak about pre-pandemic, your users would go into the office and they'll have a phone that's directly plugged into the traditional PBX, and when the pandemic happened, everybody was forced to try and, like, you have to move out of the office, you have to go home, and luckily for the early adopters with Unified Communications who have the integration with PBX functionality, these guys could work from home. But all these the companies that haven't adopted yet, they're sitting with a PBX at their offices, and there's no way for them to connect telephonically through to their remote work environment. So what UC has brought is, it is a mixture of all your collaboration functionality, meetings, messaging, as well the integrated PSTN calling, so you can phone your geographic numbers from a single pane of glass.
And now, to me, when I sit and I think back on when everybody got sent home, I don't think I've ever started an online meeting on time, because everybody is like, can you hear me, can you see me, let me drop off, let me come back in my Windows or Mac, ask me to restart the application, and for me, I always find it interesting that, you know, a lot of people, when they started working in this way, said, oh, you know, we're so much more productive and everything's better. But all that basically happened was people just sat for extended periods of time on having these meetings. And we've sort of gotten used to it now, where I don't think I've been on a online meeting in the last 6 months where everybody joined on time, switched on their cameras and stuff like that. So I think we're also a little bit over that, and part of that was, it's very difficult for if you have 10 or 50 or 100 users that you've now sent home, how do you as the business understand what how efficiently or effectively your users are using that tool? Because, I mean, there's connectivity issues. There's the speaker on the PC is not working that well. Or, you know, there's a number of those problems. So for me, I think that's a problem. And then you have these disparate systems where people have these online things, but when somebody from the outside wants to phone, they still forward it to a mobile phone or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I refer to it at now as UC Evolved, because, like you said, I think what UC looked pre-pandemic and what it looks like now, I think it's evolved quite a bit. So let's talk about what is a UC 2.0 or 3.0 offering look like today.
So it's important to understand what UC was before we went into the pandemic. So UC basically was a video collaboration tool. You had multiple applications with different functionalities. So you would have a UC application where you specifically only had meetings on. Then you had another application for messaging, and you have your mails and file shares and all those type of things. So during the pandemic, obviously, a lot of the big vendors evolved their own products to bring all of these components into one thing, where you have one application where you can have your meetings, you can chat to your colleagues and to the outside world, you have spaces where you can share content with everybody, and then also the integrated PSTN dialing and all those type of things.
So I want to just stop you there. You mentioned spaces. What is that? How does that work?
So spaces in the UC world is a we'll refer to it as a group where you can invite external parties as well as your internal teams, and you can collaborate within these spaces. You can send messages, you can share content, share links, you can share whiteboarding sessions, full screen share capability, all those type of things. So they've basically incorporated your daily chat function on your normal apps into one application or one space, and it's always visible to everybody. The content is end-to-end encrypted. It's evolved quite a bit, and
so I get quite excited when you talk about this, because you know that one of my bugbears in life, and I've said it many times, I think email is an unproductivity tool. It doesn't help business. It actually slows it down, because if you just think about it, we have an online meeting, everybody talks, hopefully somebody keeps some form of minutes of the meeting or whatever, and then from there you've got to go to email, and now it goes into this distributed world where what you're describing now is, if I understand correctly, we can, in my let's call it my UC application, I can create a place where we can have those discussions, we can share documents, and if I don't have to, let's call it, follow the formal protocol when typing an email, I can just type a quick instant message and say, "Hi AJ, please find the document. Let me know if you need anything else."
That's 100% correct. So I wouldn't say it will replace the email factor of it.
I hope it does.
Yeah, 100%. So you're 100% correct. It is a space that is always available to you and the participants within that specific area, and you can share documents. It's accessible to anybody at any time. It is secured via encryption. So, yeah, you're 100% correct. Instead of sending a long email to a specific person, if you send a message within the space, all the participants have access to read it. They have access to get all the files that you've shared, update files. But, yeah, it's essentially a way to replace emails going forward.
That it's without a shadow of a doubt, that's where we need to go to. And then you spoke about whiteboarding. What's that?
So I'm going to specifically mention Cisco Webex in this regard. So not just in the spaces as well as their meeting capabilities. So when you hop onto a call with your colleagues or with a vendor or any business related type of query, you have the option to either share your screen, or you can share a whiteboarding session where everybody within that session can get proactive. They can draw on the whiteboard, you can map out project plans, anything like that, and as soon as everybody's done drawing on the whiteboard, the application saves it automatically and it's sent it through to everybody, and it's always accessible.
Wow.
It just adds another layer of the collaboration input from everybody in that party.
And what you just said now, that to me is a perfect example of how the UC offering has evolved. So we talk on the show often about technology religion, where people are just vendor, but you actually have to look at it and say, what's the functionality that's available to me, and then how can that make my business better? So on that note, I read another stat where they said 57% of US companies view team collaboration as a workflow hub. So more than half of the companies in the US, and I'm sure that's tracking around the world, are basically say, I can use UC as a workflow. I almost want to say a center of how we manage our workflow. So the email's already starting to jump out of the loop as far as that's concerned, because it speeds us up. And that productivity, you know, productivity, I think sometimes people perceive it as, you're just sitting behind your desk and getting whipped to do more.
Exactly.
But it's actually, what tools can I put on the table in order to make my colleagues or staff work quicker and easier. You know, it's actually got to be more comfortable to them. So another thing that I think that has come to light in terms of where the UC has evolved to, it's not just a single application. There's also this whole story about app integration.
100%. So with the app integration, and obviously when any company or any IT manager or CTO or everybody is looking at the different flavors of the unified communications out there, I'm going to mention three that come to mind, and this is I would say the three most popular ones, which would be Microsoft Teams, Zoom, and Cisco WebEx. So when looking at that, these three vendors, all of them have a different offering, and we need to understand also what their play in the market is. If you think about Cisco, Cisco's history with routing and networking, and they've now recently taken on software as a service. Microsoft Teams, whose main focus at the end of the day is their office suite, emails, SharePoint, those type of things. And I mean, Zoom is a collaboration tool. They've built it especially for this. It's important to have a look at the features and functionalities of each and every suite, of each and every vendor, and understand what are the key points of your business. If you're going with the Cisco suite, it'll make sense if you've got Cisco-enabled applications in your network or in your environment that can obviously leverage off of the functionality. So there's a lot of things that needs to be taken into account when you're looking at the technologies and what the capabilities are and what their offerings are into the market.
So let's go into this app integration. What would an example be of that?
So I'm going to use Cisco WebEx as an example.
Yeah.
Cisco WebEx, what they've done is, instead of building APIs into their software, they've integrated and partnered with different developers that make applications. So they've got developers that made a whole list of applications that you can integrate with WebEx. As an example, I'm going to go through a few of the applications that I actually like, because I deal with Cisco WebEx on a daily basis. So one of the applications that I really like is called Protoscope. This is, and we spoke about this earlier, it's a product, it's a productivity management tool. So if you're an IT manager of a company and you guys have deployed the Cisco WebEx suite to your users, this tool basically tracks their productivity based on the apps that they use. So a lot of times people are on UC and they're sitting at home, and you know, there's no real way to track productivity. And I mean, like we mentioned earlier, people hop onto a call, they mute themselves, their cameras are off, and this tool basically gives you a visual representation of what each individual user is doing, what apps they're using, what their activity time is on each and every app. But it basically just helps IT managers or managers just keep an eye on the productivity of each individual user.
So that's such an important thing for me. I think sometimes when people refer to productivity, there's a natural resistance to it. Almost is like, you're the business just whipping us and making us work faster and harder, but if you understand how your team, especially when they're distributed, are actually working, I think everybody knows now that a business doesn't want somebody to sit and work for 16 hours a day, because you know they're going to burn out, or maybe the connectivity is of such a nature that they've got the application, but they just can't work with it. And I mean, something like that is massively important for me. And it's a great example of how we've jumped past just what the UC application itself is what can we integrate in order to make that offering better.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Give us another example.
So another example of an application that Cisco has partnered with is called Notif. So Cisco already has in their meeting functionality, they've built in a type of AI-driven, how can I call it? It is a note taker. It transcripts. It provides transcripts of all your meetings. It translates languages. It takes notes. It's a minutes taker for every meeting. So when you hop onto a call with a vendor or even internally, it'll take minutes of the meeting. It'll highlight key points. And then once the meeting's done, it'll send through the minutes to all the participants. And I mean, it's a productivity
tool. With action points and stuff.
Yeah, everything.
Okay.
It's a productivity tool at the end of the day. And it takes away the need for that human interaction where somebody has to sit and make notes, and you know, people also miss things. So
and it's more productive, it's quicker and faster.
100%, yeah.
That's amazing. Okay. So I want to touch on something that you mentioned earlier now, in terms of we're sending everybody home. How does a business know how the users are experiencing the application?
Okay, so I'm going to sound like a salesperson now, so I'm going to refer back to the WebEx suite.
Yeah.
So what Cisco has done is they provide the administrator of a company access to a analytics panel, which breaks it down. It breaks analytics down to a single user, and you have different options between your voice quality, your meeting quality, how long your mic was muted, how many minutes your camera has been off in every meeting. It also shows you the quality of the meetings, the voice and video quality. It's a full analytics tool that's accessible to the administrators to have an idea of what the user experience are and also keep an eye on the users. I mean, we've all been in meetings, obviously in lockdown as well. You mute your mic, you're sitting in your pajamas, sitting on meetings, sitting muted, you know, and
playing games on the side.
Exactly. it's a tool that's accessible to the administrators. It has full analytics. You can do daily reports or schedule daily reports, but it gives a bit of insight into what the user experience are. With WebEx, when a meeting's done, WebEx has a little pop-up that asks you what your meeting experience was, and that feedback gets sent through after every single meeting, and that you can build a summary of or a baseline of what the average experience is, and that also gives you the capability to troubleshoot any issues should there be.
For me, when I think about it, and I mean, I think what must the most frustrating thing be for one of your team members sitting at home and not being able to communicate? Must be that.
Correct.
Yeah. And I think people get a lot of frustration, and then from a business perspective, if you don't have any visibility into it or whatever, you also think that you know, everything's going hunky-dory, but meanwhile 50% of your users might not have the right level of experience.
Correct. Yeah.
So I think that type of insight is critical to a business. The last sort of item that I want to touch on, and we have to because it's so prevalent in the world, is we have to talk about security.
Correct.
So we've had instances in I think in South Africa in the last 2 years where there were government briefings where people came in and took over the meeting, and there's all kinds of shenanigans. Mm. So when I'm looking at it from my business, I might say, yeah, this functionality sounds fantastic, but what about the security component?
So 100%. And when we're speaking about security, we also need to understand what the approaches in terms of security are from the vendors that are providing these applications to us, right? Okay. And I mean, it can be broken up into three categories at the end of the day. You need to know, if you're collaborating via chat messaging, what is the implication? How is my chat messages end-to-end being secured? The second one is the content that I'm sharing to my participants in meetings and on chats. Where is that content sitting? Is that secured? What is the relationship? Is it in the cloud?
There must be a poppy
Correct.
Thing that I have to worry about.
And the last one is the system and metadata from all these apps. Where is the information going? Is it stored locally? And I mean, these are questions that you need to ask, and you need to understand what the approaches is from each vendor. So coming back to the first point, and in my world, which is the WebEx world, for example, the security features that WebEx or Cisco has applied is you can enhance security features down to an individual user level. You can set what they can do, what they can't do, what they can share, what they can't share, all those type of things. You can, as an administrator, you can drill down into a individual user and set security policies as to who they can talk to, what type of files they can share, all those type of things. And which is important, because if you have a user who's just adding people to spaces or just sending out files and which can be confidential to your company,
yes,
you need to be able to control these type of things.
I think in the last podcast that we did, we spoke about data loss prevention, and
Correct.
I mean, for me, this is where as a strategy for a company, you've got to understand what data flows where and how you can control it.
Exactly.
And I think, to me, what it sounds like is this tool actually enables you to control that and give you a sort of peace of mind.
That's correct. The second point I want to speak about is you're sharing content back into the cloud, right? If you're having, if you have groups or spaces in your collaboration application, you need to understand, when you're sharing this content with multiple people in groups, is this content secured? Is it stored locally on my PC or locally on a server? Is it stored within the vendor's cloud? And I mean, I've obviously I've I've done a bit of research in the past in terms of the decision that we made in picking our vendor is different. These different vendors have different way of doing things. For example, Microsoft and WebEx have, well, let's start with Microsoft. So Microsoft, you know, they're a cloud-based platform. That's where their main play is. So they, all their information gets stored in the cloud because they're running with applications or features like SharePoint and those type of things. Mm-hmm. So in their Teams world, all your content is being shared in the cloud. And we all know Microsoft is a trusted vendor. They're a big name. But I mean,
you still have to make sure that you know where their data
correctly.
Sits.
And unfortunately, in that case, you don't have a choice as to where your data is being uploaded to or where exactly it's located.
Okay.
In the WebEx world, so what Cisco have done is they've taken a bit of a different approach. You can, when you deploy your WebEx, you can deploy a WebEx node either locally on site or in your data center of your choice, and you can distinguish which type of data needs to be stored locally and what data needs to be stored in the cloud.
Okay.
And that's completely up to the administrator, and when that happens, you know your data is secure, you know where your data is located as well. Unfortunately, with Zoom, and I think they're still in the process of changing their strategy around this, but Zoom basically only has their cloud database where all the information and the metadata are sitting, which comes back to there needs to be a trusted relationship with Zoom or with the vendor in this essence.
Mm.
I mean, if you're sharing confidential information, you need to understand where it's going to, and if you don't have that relationship or the trust, then you're constantly going to be living in fear for your business.
Well, I think for me, I think there's two important points. Number one is every vendor has a good and bad points, and I think it's a ever evolving, fast evolving space. So I think it almost demands continuous homework from a business to make sure that the application that you're using is still relevant and up to date. Okay, so I always end the show by saying, let's make it real. So if somebody listened today and they want to get a view as to what the experience would be on the application that you spoke about, where do they start?
So the first point for me is if you're looking at getting into unified communications or making the migration from your traditional PBX environment, it's important to understand what the requirements are from your business perspective. What are your users doing on a day-to-day basis? You know, you need to understand the aspects of it. So for us in the WebEx world is we've completely moved away from your traditional having your IP phone on your desk, being able to make your calls and all that. So what we've done is we've integrated our cloud PBX platform with WebEx, which basically allows us to have an application on my cell phone or on my desktop, and I have the full collaboration experience. I can join meetings from anywhere I want. I can make PSTN calls, receive PSTN calls. I mean, you've got the whole suite. You can.
You've done the sales job, but I'm saying now let's make it real. So if I listen now and I like what you're saying, can you demo it for me? Can I POC it? How does it work?
100%. So if you guys want to understand and have a feel for what the product can do, you guys are more than welcome to contact me. I'll let Jaco share all my details after this. We'll come out. We'll demo the actual product for you guys. We can do it on a POC basis. Let everybody get a feel for what the application is, what the capabilities are. And it's also important when you have a new application that you understand how it works as well. So with that, there's training involved and just a little bit of a user experience guide.
What's the fancy word? Change management,
correct.
Okay,
so
cool.
We're super confident about the product. We spent a lot of time on it. So we've branded it in our own network called Ripple with WebEx. We'll give you guys a rundown. So if you are interested, please feel free to contact me. We're super excited about this.
Okay, fantastic. Ajay, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Unbundled, brought to you by Catalytic, a series that aims to demystify technology so that you can make smarter decisions in your business. Remember, you can listen to all of the episodes on the Cliff Central app or website, and for added convenience, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen. And remember, if you're looking for help with the communication tools in your business, please visit catalytic.co.za. CliffCentral.com